In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star as they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May God add a blessing to the reading of the Holy Scriptures. You join me in prayer. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It is good to be here today. Epiphany. Epiphany marks the end of the Christmas season. Epiphany Sunday, that's what we're celebrating today. Epiphany is the realization and the recognition that God has come into the world. It generally centers around the Magi visit in Matthew, because when Christ had come and was recognized as the one as the Christ, as the Messiah. So the points of the story that we take for granted, because I've preached on this so many times, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this, but you know, there weren't three Magi, there weren't three wise men, right? There's three gifts, but there's probably a huge caravan of men and women and children and lots of things happening right there. You know, it's not at the manger too, right? They didn't come to Bethlehem and found the manger. In Matthew, Mary and Joseph live in Bethlehem, so they came to their home. And of course, they had the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's an unusual story. We don't hear the bizarreness of this story because we've heard it so many times, but it's a really unusual story for many different reasons. First of all, the Magi were not Jews. In fact, there were astrologists, which were forbidden in the Hebrew Bible. If you look at our Old Testament, astrology is forbidden. It's unclean. It's not of God. Right? They were practicing other faiths and other religions, yet they saw God clearer than anyone else in the story. And we see that all throughout Jesus' ministry in Matthew especially, where the ones on the inside don't really understand, but the ones on the outside have a very clear understanding of what God is doing. Here's the other part that's bizarre. They see this astrological sign, this sign in the heavens, and no one knew what it was. Apparently, no one expected the Magi to come. The religious council seemed completely off guard that they were there. And I'm certain that Mary and Joseph were a little freaked out also, right? This huge caravan comes to their house. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty glad they opened the door and let them in, because it's possible that they could have said, "Go away," or something. You know, if they would have come to my house, we would have told them to go away, I think. We've drilled into our kids' head the stranger danger stuff. And so if there's a knock on the door with a caravan of people, I promise you, Mary Frances calls the police, number one, and then ushers the children into the safe room and leaves me out, by the way, to deal with it, right? Ma'am, we've come from a great distance. Don't care. Call it 911. We have gifts to give. Leave them on the porch and back away, sir. That's the reception they would be getting at my house. Glad that Mary and Joseph opened the door. The story would have made a little more sense to me, and not quite as bizarre, if the priests and the scribes were in agreement that this sign pointed to the Christ. But they weren't in agreement about that. In fact, they were the ones afraid, and all of Jerusalem with them, and their king, which was Herod. God is just not so limited as we would like to believe. We like our God to be predictable. We like our God to be manageable. It's a little scary when God gets out of our little box. And it is uneasy for me to consider the implications as well. As progressive as I am, I understand God through a Jesus lens. I understand God through a Christian sense and through church. I understand God through what we are doing right now. But the Magi came looking for the Christ, not for preaching or liturgy or a sacrament or a welcoming congregation or even a vital social justice ministry, things that I put great importance on. They came seeking the Christ after studying the night skies. It's uncomfortable for me to think about. It's an uncomfortable reminder that God's embrace is more mystery and less formula. Look at how God continues to enact this mystery and break the barriers of religious expectations. God announces the birth of the Messiah to shepherds through angels on Christmas. God announces the birth of the Messiah to the Magi via a star on Epiphany, and to the political and religious authorities of God's own people through visitors from the east, unclean visitors from the east. And from a feeding trough where a child lies in bands of cloth, God's reach, God's embrace in Christ Jesus gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Jesus, when he grew up, eats with the sinners and the outcasts. He touches people that are unclean and heals them and even calls the dead back to life. Ultimately, Jesus draws all people to him as he is lifted on the cross. In Christ Jesus, no one is beyond God's embrace. God seems to do whatever it takes to reach out and embrace all people. So the question then to you is this: what is your response when God reaches out to you? When you feel God's pull and God's insistence, what is your response to God? Maybe you are of the opinion that that doesn't happen anymore. Maybe you think epiphanies don't happen anymore like they did in the Bible. It's just something that happened once upon a time ago. If so, if you have that mentality, we have built yet another box which we think we can contain God. Maybe you think that your life circumstance is just too dark to experience God. Maybe life circumstance has thrown you a curveball and you wonder where God is. Because life has a way of doing that. Failed relationships and broken hearts and loss of loved ones, loss of self. Maybe you think God can't be found in the dark places. Like maybe you need to get out of your own darkness and then you can experience God. Nothing could be further from the truth. You don't have to clean up your dark places to experience the holy. Because that's the exact circumstances that Christ Jesus was born into. Born into darkness. Born into brokenness. Christ Jesus was born into despair. When Christ was born, it was said that the light of the world has come into being. Does that mean that there will be no more darkness? That God's light will shine so bright that no more darkness exists? Absolutely not. Three verses later, in Matthew's story, we have Herod, who is on a murderous rampage and kills all the toddlers in Bethlehem. So don't tell me that it's too dark to find God, because that is exactly where God is, in the darkness. The Magi realized this. The Magi saw something, realized what was happening, and they started their journey. They started their journey into enemy territory where they knew they would not be welcomed, most likely. But the reason I think they got it, look at the gifts that they presented to the Christ child. Gold, in fact, for royalty. Strange, because it's a baby and they are kneeling in the home of Mary and Joseph. Certainly not a palace with guards and all of the pomp and circumstance that goes with royalty. So they recognize that a king is being born. Also, frankincense and myrrh. And I've talked about this before, but those were burial spices. Odd gifts for a baby, let alone a king. And somehow they knew. They knew exactly who they were in front of. Because as God's anointed, Jesus was going to be in for a very hard life. And they got it. rejected in the house of God, accused and convicted of crimes he did not commit, abandoned by his closest friends, abused, tortured, and killed while onlookers made sport. And it clearly wasn't dark enough even then for God to operate and for God to work. In fact, there's never been a darkness that is too dark that God would not venture into. Because we belong to God. God has laid claim on us. Emmanuel, which is the name given to Jesus, is God with us. You know, we're fixing to put away all of the Christmas. We're fixing to undeck the halls next Saturday, and hopefully maybe in your homes you've already put away the Christmas, or maybe you're like us and procrastinating, but it's fine. We're fixing to put away the Christmas. The celebration of Christmas is at an end. Did it mean anything? Did any of this mean anything? Did any of it matter? And I'm not talking about the presents or the eggnog or the jingle bell rock. I'm talking about the light of the world coming into being and the celebration of that. Does it mean anything? Because if this Christmas season is to have any lasting meaning, then we must also search diligently for the Christ. And when we find the Christ, we must allow him to transform us, to radically change our very being. When you have an encounter with the living Christ, things can never be the same again. There are two options with which to respond to the living Christ: in fear, like Herod did, or we can respond in faith, as the Magi did, and as Mary and Joseph did, and as the shepherds did, and eventually the disciples did. Be not afraid is the most repeated phrase in our Bible. The angels announced it. Almost every time you see an angel, they say, "Do not be afraid." The prophets proclaimed it. The psalmist implored it. Be not afraid. It's one of the last things that Jesus tells his disciples right before he dies. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. We are called to a different way in this world, the way of peace and grace and mercy and forgiveness and love, even when it doesn't make any sense, especially when it doesn't make any sense. And that may seem like a very tall order, but remember this: Christ is Emmanuel. And if that means God with us, then Christ wasn't just born 2,000 years ago. Christ is and has been born in us. God Almighty gets to take up residence in our hearts. At the end of Matthew's gospel, the end of Matthew's story, the resurrected Jesus instructs his followers to go out and bring the good news to a dark and despairing world that desperately needs to hear it. Maybe we need to hear it too. Maybe you've come today and you need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So here it is. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are deeply loved, and you are a child of God. And there is nothing that can take that love away from you. So go. Go filled with God's grace, that to be the light of the world, because you were meant to shine. All of us were meant to shine. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Bring light to someone else's darkness. And if you are too steeped in darkness yourself, then turn to the Christ. Where do I turn, you ask? She is sitting right next to you. He is across the aisle from you. She is behind you. He is in front of you. All of us share the light of Christ. Every one of us has this spark of life in us. We are Christ for one another on this earth. Christmas is over, but Emmanuel is still just beginning. Thanks be to God. Amen.